Yeah. to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that curse.
Favorite song of all time right there. just hits all of it, don't it?
Praise God.
Amen. If you'll open your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to start in verse 10. First Chronicles is right after Kings. Amen. Page 503 in my Bible. Amen. You swipe right on yours. Amen. Praise God for this digital age. 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to start in verse 10. I've titled this brief message, amen, A Father's Heart. And I was really just thinking this week as I was preparing, and I even looked up last year's Father's Day message just to see an alignment of where the Lord had me thinking and speaking on. This is not last year's Father's Day message, just so you know. Last year we talked about the perfect Father, who is God our Father. And there's no one greater than Him. There's no one who understands more than Him. There's no one more long-suffering than Him. There's no one with more patience than Him. And I just think, what a precious thing that God is all of those things. But even more than that, He endows us with His nature as fathers. And maybe there's children here. We're all children here. Maybe you can think back to your father and the man of God that he is, or the man of God that he was. And you can see the nature of God in him and his actions and the way that he dealt with things, not in perfection, because we are just flesh, we're carnality, and we make mistakes. But you can see bits and pieces of God in his life. You can see bits and pieces of how he dealt with you and how he encouraged you. And maybe you looked around at non-Christian families and you saw how their parents dealt with them, and you saw the difference in their life. And I want to just bring out very quickly 1 Chronicles 29. This is David. David is addressing the assembly in Jerusalem, and he is preparing to step down as king. God has shown him that Solomon is about to take his place as heir to the throne. And this is David's prayer for Solomon as his son and as the next king of Israel. And I just want you to hear the language that David uses as he prays. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand, are power and might, and in your hand is to make great. It is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that the test of the heart, and that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness, in the uprightness of my heart. I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts towards you. And this is important here. All of it's important, but listen as he closes with this. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. And I want to just take a minute and I want to reflect over this prayer of David. And as I said, I've titled this message, A Father's Heart. And when you think about David and you think about Solomon and you think about the transition, and most of us know the story, we witness what Solomon ends up going through, what Solomon ends up being. And Solomon receives a vision from the Lord, and the Lord comes to him and says, Solomon, ask anything of me and I'll give it to you. And Solomon has a moment here where he can ask for riches. He can ask for the defeat of all his enemies. He can ask for the longevity of his kingdom, even after his legacy is over. He can ask for so many things, and he seemingly asks for a good thing. And he says, oh Lord, give me the wisdom and the knowledge to deal with your people, to lead your people and to govern them. And God says, you've asked of a good thing, and I'm going to give it to you. And I'm not going to just give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all of these other things as well. I'm going to give you provision, and I'm going to give you opportunity, and I'm going to give you favor in certain circumstances and in certain relationships. I'm going to open the door to you because you asked of this good thing. But when you look at the prayers of David and Solomon in parallel, you would say, man, those are pretty close. I would almost say that they're the same thing. Look how God and Solomon are communing, and look how David and God are communing. And you would say, man, that's so similar. But that's not what David prayed for. That's not what David was asking God for in Solomon's life. David was saying, God, I want you to make Solomon's heart whole. I want you to be the missing piece in Solomon's life so that he is fulfilled in you and of you and only you, nothing else. And if he is fulfilled in you in his heart, then he will recognize that all these other things don't matter because he has obtained you. And when I think about David's prayer and I think about his communion with God for his son and his children, David's heart was so that they might know God the way that he knew God, the way that he had experienced God. And like a good father, I would say any father in this room, or maybe your fathers, maybe they're not here, I would assume that we all have the same heart, that our children not encounter or inherit the mistakes that we've made, that they might not endure the troubles and the hardships that we've endured, that they would experience only the good things of life, that they would look at our life and they would receive our teaching and our instruction, and they would stray away from the troubles that we just ignorantly went into. I mean, am I in somewhere close with fathers here this morning? You don't want your children to go through hardship. There's a famous quote by an unknown author that said, if there be war, let it be in my time so that my children know peace. And that's a great expression as a father of my heart for my children, is that I don't want you to deal with the pitfalls of life. I want you just to gain from me the good and move forward with that and gain more of goodness, more of greatness in the provisions of God. And I love how David makes his statement with this prayer. He said, God, everything comes from you. There's nothing good in this earth that is not provided by. We're not giving you some new thing. We've tested that. Everything comes from you. All of the blessing, all of the everything that's great comes from you. And we're not offering you really anything. The only thing that we can offer you is the joy of our hearts. And I'm so grateful to be in this assembly today. That's what David was saying, where everyone unanimously is giving you the joy of their heart, recognizing you the way that you ought to be recognized. And here we are, and I just say this in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, Israel, who knew you personally, who knew you relationally, and they were led by you in faith. They loved you and you loved them, and all that mattered to all of them was just finding you in the desert, finding you in their homes, finding you in every aspect of their life. That was their heart, because they met you and they knew you and you knew them. And David is saying, I've experienced you in the same way. And if I could ask anything for Solomon, if I can give him anything as an inheritance, I don't care about the throne. I don't care about royalty. I don't care about any of these things. If I want him to inherit anything, I want him to inherit my heart. I want him to know you the way that I know you. I need him to know you the way that I know you, because if not, everything else is going to consume him. If his heart is not for you, if his heart is not whole in you, he's going to pursue things in this life to satisfy the emptiness of his heart. He's going to search for things. And I've realized already, and you look at David's past, and you see David's past, and you say, man, David made a lot of mistakes. That's us. I look back in my life and I think, what mistakes I've made. And even more than that, I cringe because I have children who are growing up in a world in the same way that I grew up in it, with opportunity and choice. And I look at that and I fear in my heart, are they going to experience it the way that I did? Are they going to make choices for themselves the way that I did? Or God, have you anointed me as a father enough to maybe have influence in their life where they don't look at me and go, you're an idiot. You don't know anything. I know everything. And I just know that's the nature of children. They are ignorant because they don't know. They've not been tested in time. They've not been tested in their character. But listen, I now am more of a listener at 33 years old than I ever was at 19. I listen and I pay attention when people talk, because I know that they have something to give. They've got experience to give that says, listen, if you go down this path, cause and effect is here. When I was 19, I just said, I don't care what you say. You don't know everything. I'm not you, so who's to say this is going to happen to me? And David's heart is saying this, don't let Solomon be consumed with ignorance. But God, in the same way you were close to me as my father, he said, God, you were my father when I was in the sheep pen. You were my father when I faced Goliath. You were even my father when I saw Bathsheba on the rooftop, because you know the conviction of God was on him saying, boy, don't go down there. God was there. Now, David didn't listen, but he's saying, God, in every way, because of my relationship with you as a father to a son that you've been to me, if I can give Solomon that I had with you, then he will need nothing else. And then you lean over to Solomon, and what does Solomon ask for? He says, God, I want to know what you know. I want your mind, not your heart, so that I can discern with wisdom. And don't get me wrong, to this day, there was no wiser man than Solomon in the earth. No one was wiser because he had the wisdom of God. But as a wise man, you know he wrote a few books in the Bible. He wrote Song of Solomon. He wrote Proverbs. How many of you know a proverb a day will keep stupidity away? That's what I used to tell myself when I'd read through it. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And Ecclesiastes. We all know Ecclesiastes 3 because it's read at every funeral we go to. But if you look in chapters 1 and 2, the way that it starts, let an old preacher tell you. That's how it starts. Let this preacher tell you. Vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no good, there's no bad, there's no evil, there's no righteousness that is new under the sun. Everything is redundant. Everything is constantly being recycled. Look at parachute pants. Look at the mullet. Nothing new. Kids these days think, man, I'm pulling this incredible hairstyle off. It's already been done. There's nothing new. That's a light example, but it's constantly circulating. Fashion circulating. Language is circulating. All of these different areas are circulating because there's nothing new. And that's what Solomon's saying. In all of my wisdom, in all of my pursuit of knowing everything that can be known, you know what I've arrived at? That everything is meaningless. It means absolutely nothing. My wisdom has led me to dead end after dead end after dead end to this reality that none of these things are going to satisfy me. None of these things are going to make me happy. And he says, all these things I've sought in pleasure, and though my flesh be touched for a moment, it's like ashes in my mouth. It's just nothing. The moment I eat of anything, I'm hungry again. I'm never satisfied. The moment I drink anything, I have to drink again. I'm never satisfied. And though I've drank of all the drinks in the earth, though I've had all the pleasures that a man can have in its pleasure, you know what I found in them? Meaningless. Because as much as I sought after them and chased after them, when I obtained it, it was like catching the wind, it says. In wisdom, the more I tried to learn and the more I tried to understand, you know what I found? That the fool dies just as much as the wise man. That the wise man encounters the same issues that the fool does. Even in my pursuit of wisdom, it means nothing. I've not gained anything from it. It's nothing. It's meaningless. It's vanity. And I think Solomon endured this life with the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that God had provided. And you know what he figured out? The very thing that his daddy already did. That without God, there's no fulfillment in life. Without him being my satisfaction, I can chase all of these areas and realms and places of influence in my life. These spheres of influence, relationships, pleasures, wisdoms, anything, and it means nothing. I'm not satisfied because as soon as I get it, I want more, and I want more, and I want more. But you know what happens when I go to the Lord? I'm satisfied. Remember what he said to the Samaritan woman? If you knew who was asking you for water, you would say, I'm not giving you water, you give me water. Because he said, I have the water where if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. That's what David was referencing in his prayer before Solomon. He's saying, God, make his heart whole. And even if he pursues any of these areas, he'll be satisfied in them, not because he's obtained it, but because he already has you. And I think as fathers, we can think lots of ways as far as inheritances and things that we can leave our children. You can build your business up, and you can build your assets up. You can build your wealth up, your retirement, your life insurance. You can buy houses, vehicles, and you can think, I'm going to leave this to my children, and it's going to be great for them. It's going to give them a head start. And in the physical sense, it absolutely is. But how many of you know cars break down? Houses catch fire for no reason? Just happens. In the blink of an eye, the stock market can crash and your dollar can be nothing. A business can be bankrupt. Any of those things can happen. I mean, they're gone in the blink of an eye because they're not eternal. But there's one thing that the world cannot take away from us, and that's Jesus. I can lose everything, and I have lost. I've lost. I can lose it all, and I can be at zero and still be happier than Solomon was in a palace with the greatest kingdom on earth, with the greatest influence throughout the known world. I mean, people from other countries came from all over just to witness Solomon's wisdom, and he's sitting there depressed because he's not satisfied. But here I am. I don't have anything in light of that, but I have him. And that's what David said. He said, one thing I found is I don't want the throne. The only reason I'm on the throne is because God asked me to be here. And if he sent me back to the pasture today, I'd be just as happy there as here eating grapes from a servant's hand. Because it's not about the position. It's not about my geography. It's not about what I have and what I don't have. It's about him. And if I can impart anything to my son, it's this first. Because if this is grasped first, it doesn't matter what comes in life, prosperity or poorness. It does not matter. They will be satisfied. They will never get to a moment in their life and regret anything that's happened in their life, because they will give all the glory to God, saying, God, thank you. In little and in much, thank you. It's what Paul said. I know what it's like to have a lot. And I know what it's like to have little. I know what it's like to come into a town and be praised because I'm a preacher of God. And I also know what it's like to come into a town and then try to kill me. But in all these things, I glory in God, because I count everything that I knew prior to this as nothing, because my treasure is not in these things. My treasure is in the Lord. My treasure is in my Father, because how many of you know there is an inheritance waiting for us? David saw a kingdom that was waiting for Solomon if he would just grasp a hold of God's heart. You can see it the way that I see it, Solomon. If you will just grab a hold of God and you'll let him grab a hold of you, there's an inheritance for you, one that I could not store up in 1,000 storehouses on earth. There's an inheritance waiting for you if you'll just receive this from me and from the Lord. I've got just a couple more minutes, and I'm going to let you go. Amen. Thank you, sister. 20 more minutes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. If you want to hear about this inheritance, I encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll read it just briefly, because I've already shared about that inheritance. And this is just the confirmation through the scripture. Ephesians 1 and 3 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Listen, before there even was an earth, God had already purposed in his heart to know you, to love you, to consider you his children, to give you the inheritance of heaven. He had already purposed it in his heart. That's what verse 4 says. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. He couldn't wait. He had predestined it. He had already set it up that his son was going to come. He was going to die on a cross. He was going to shed his blood, that all who had faith in him might be recipients and grafted in to this incredible family. I just read that. Verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Isn't that amazing? When you have God's heart, you'll have his wisdom. Solomon skipped a step and became empty. See, if you really want the wisdom of God, it says, if you have not asked, it's because you ask not. But any man that seeks wisdom, let him ask of God first, and God will give it to him. But I can tell you, give your heart to the Lord. He'll give you the wisdom. Making known to us the mystery of his will. Isn't that incredible? That when you have God's heart, you know what his wisdom is? It's unveiling the mystery of his will for your life. Solomon didn't have to guess what God wanted for his kingdom. He didn't need God's brain to understand what he wanted for his kingdom. Because if he would have had God's heart, he would have known. Because just a few chapters earlier, David told the prophet, he said, I want to build God a house. You know what God's response to Nathan was? Who told David I wanted a house? That was his response. But David had God's heart. And so David knew that God wanted to build a house. He knew, he foresaw spiritually that one day we would be the house of God. We would be the temples of God. David saw that even then. And it surprised God. But it's because David had his heart that he had such great wisdom. He knew the will of God, made the mystery known. As a plan for the fullness of time, verse 10, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, that's good to me. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen? Amen. And so we have now the Holy Spirit through salvation, which is the guarantor. It is the evidence. It's what we're holding on to until we cross over in death into life, and we will receive the riches of his inheritance, because we are now sons and daughters because of the blood of Jesus. And so it's not our wisdom of God, it's not our knowledge from God, but it's our heart from God. Because God judges the heart. He knows it. He knows whose heart he has and whose heart he doesn't have. Listen, I know a lot of people that know a lot of things about God, but they're ugly Christians. They're ugly. They know so much. They make you look foolish with their knowledge, but they don't love. And that's what leads us to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to close, Cora. Don't look at your watch. You said 2 minutes, 2 minutes ago. 1 Corinthians 13, I want to point this out to you. This is talking about spiritual gifts. But I can tell you, it's also talking about the Christian in general. It's talking about the way that you live your life. Because if you are saved, you've been washed in the blood, you've been endowed with the Holy Spirit of God that seals you as the guarantor until the inheritance and the promise. If you have that and you claim that, then your life will produce what? Not gifts, love. Right? Because I know a lot of people with gifts that don't have love. I know a lot of people that are great preachers, great prophesiers. They're great people in knowledge. Those are all gifts of the Spirit, but they don't love. What are we talking about? Not the wisdom of God. I don't want my children to inherit my knowledge. I don't want them to inherit my wisdom. I want them to inherit God's heart. If they see anything in my life, I want them to see Jesus. I want them to know that no matter what in this life that they go through, it wasn't money that got Dad through. It wasn't relationships that God got through. Praise God for them. Praise God those things were there and they were provision of the Lord. But when everything went to hell, God was there. And my dad threw himself on the Lord. I want that to be their memory. You can play that song. I love that song. Let my children tell their children. Let this be their memory. That my treasure was in heaven. Amen. My inheritance, everything I have was there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to be quiet. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. This is what Solomon was saying in Ecclesiastes. He said, it's vanity. Even if I do all this stuff, even if I pursue all these things, and it looks godly, it means nothing. It's meaningless without God's heart. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, listen to this language. It's parallel to Ecclesiastes. And if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy, nor does it boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Listen, your money is going to fade away. Your wealth, your riches, the things that you can leave to your children, you know what's going to happen? Even if they obtain it, it's not going to do them any good because they're going to die and their kids are going to inherit it. That's what Solomon said. He said, it doesn't matter. It's just a continuous chain. You can't take it with you when you go. One day we're going to get into perfection where none of those things matter. But the only thing that's going to matter is these words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome home, child. That's all that's going to matter. And for all those that put their hope in wisdom and knowledge and everything else that wasn't the love in the heart of God, you know what they're going to hear? Depart from me. I never knew you. Knew there is intimate. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. You said you knew me. You did a lot of things in my name. That's what Matthew 7 says. There's going to be many in that day that come and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I prophesied in your name. I did miracles in your name. And in that day, they will be disappointed because the Lord is going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. It's not about what we can do physically or what we can do with our mind intellectually. It has nothing to do with that. It has to deal with our hearts. Do we know him? And as a father today, that's my main goal. I love pastoring this church, but I'll resign tomorrow if my children need it from me. Doesn't matter to me. I want them to know God the way that I know God. It's all I care about. If I want everyone to go to heaven, but not more than I want my children to. That's the truth. And I tell them all the time, I say, just because daddy's a pastor doesn't mean you get a free ride. You got to accept him. You got to have his heart. And that's what I want for you. I want you to have his heart like I found in him. It's the Father's heart. It's not something I came up with. It's not I didn't manipulate it that way. He gave it to me. He's my Father. There's no one better than him. There's no one more revealing than him. Will you stand with me today? I pray that every father here today gets the lunch they want. They get to enjoy the time that they want with their family. I pray that. I do. I want you to experience it. You deserve it. You deserve it. I can tell you that's where ministry is the greatest, is when I'm just enjoying time with my family. They get to see their dad being a real person, not Pastor Rafe, not Sunday school teacher Rafe, just dad. And I can't wait to go spend that time, and I pray that for you today. I pray for us. I'm going to go see my dad as soon as I leave here. I got ribs that have been seasoned all night for him. I can't wait to feed him to him, not physically, but you know what I'm saying. That'd be a little weird. But I can't wait to just go spend time with him and just love on him. And you know, I called my dad some years back and I told him, I said, you know, we've had a lot of rough issues, me and you. We've knocked heads a lot, but one thing that I can honestly say, regardless of what kind of father you were, I was not a good enough son. And I'm sorry for that. I should have been a better son. And I know that the Lord put that on my heart. I think all of us can say that to our parents and just say, I could have been better. And I'm sorry. But I want you to know, thank you. I told them that, thank you. I'm here because of you. And I appreciate you. And fathers, today I just say that to you. You know, I deal with my children all the time and I think, you don't get it. You're not listening. You're not paying attention to what I'm trying to tell you. You don't realize how important this is. And maybe they don't in this moment, but they will. I think about the way that God dealt with my heart. I think about the opportunity one day that my children will call me and they'll say, Dad, I burned my hand on this thing that you told me not to touch. And I realize now that you know a little bit more than I thought you did. And I want to say, I'm sorry. It's not in vain what you do, fathers. And even now, more than ever in this generation, in this culture, you matter. And God appreciates you and I appreciate you. So can we just pray together? Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Father's Day. I thank you for the opportunity to honor these men of God. I honor their families to you, Jesus. And I say thank you for them. I thank you for the time that you've given all of us, Lord, not just with our parents, but also with our children. And Father, we can look back and have no regrets and say, Lord, that you redeemed the time, even if we failed, because I have failed miserably. And I look back and I think, man, I should have been a better father. And even where I fail, you never do. Your grace is sufficient. Where I couldn't get to, your grace went the rest of the distance. And I thank you for that. And my trust is in that, that I can't fail my children if I give them to you. And we do as fathers today. We give them to you, Jesus, and trust you. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to have the time that we do with them. But one day they'll be men and they'll be women and they'll make choices of their own. And I just pray that just like David prayed, I pray, God, that you make their hearts whole, satisfy and fulfill their hearts. We believe you, Jesus, to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, VBS volunteers, we're going to be meeting right now after everyone leaves. We're going to meet. We're going to discuss VBS. It starts Wednesday. We won't keep you long, just a few minutes. Carly's going to head it up. That's how you know it's going to be quick. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.